been reading verse 17, the last verse. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. We often see in the psalmist language of how he had so many ups and so many downs. And as the psalm commences, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. The Lord gave him that living faith to put his trust in the Lord. But then you see, like I believe with all true believers, they will often be plagued with much unbelief. They will be brought into those places where they have many doubts and many fears. And all they have to realize, as David had to realize most solemnly, when he pleaded to the Lord in the 11th verse, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. And oh, how true that is, if you and I are one of those humble followers of the Lord, we need the Lord to exercise as much in prayer that he withholds not these tender mercies. In a measure, all mankind are subject to the mercies of God, though they know it not. It is of the Lord's mercies that life is preserved, and also means given man to alleviate suffering in a measure. But oh, how solemn when the end comes and that appointed time of death, then there's nothing then, is there, save the soul, but the merits of Jesus Christ and that everlasting love to those chosen vessels. All our good works will be of no value then, will they, whatever form or shape they've taken. But oh, how he says, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. The word of the Lord, a lamp unto your feet and a light unto our path. For he had to acknowledge, and so you and I believe, if you have been favored with a hope raised up in your heart that this God is your God, that he has revealed himself to you in signs and wonders in the earth, in providence, we have to realize this, for he says, for innumerable evils have compassed me about, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. His sins, his transgressions, as he was under the conviction of sin, brought again to his remembrance, and yet he had prayed to the Lord, and he had patiently waited for him and had these deliverances. And so he is brought here again, not able to look up. We read the case of godly Ezra. He blushed and was ashamed to lift up his face before God. We see the case also in God's word of the publican. Oh, he did not much to lift up his face, but smote upon his breast, God be merciful to me, a sinner, inferring the sins of his own heart. Oh, how we have to realize this, don't we? Our sins. We were speaking to a friend the other day, and we see a little portion in the gospel standard concerning those that have looking at motes in other eyes than they have a beam in their own eye. Oh, we wouldn't condone sin, of course not, but oh, how we have to be shown this plainly, as dear David was, of his sinfulness, even if we may not in our own minds feel to have sinned to the great lengths and depths of David. How can we cast a stone at David when in our heart the burden lies? And all these past offences pain our eyes, and we're made to realize these iniquities when revealed by the Spirit to us. We see the breaking of God's holy law, and oh, we need the Lord in his sovereign mercy, don't we, to grant us this humbling of ourselves before him, the Almighty God. And he had to come in these last few verses of this psalm with wrestling prayer. And oh, he had to pray unto the Lord that I am poor and needy. I am poor and needy. Now the Lord may bless you and favor you with your needs supplied in providence, but this poverty of soul and this need of one that is able to save unto the uttermost, this one that is vital to have formed in your heart as the hope of glory. Oh, you know, when we see a little by the eye of faith of the of this great gift of the Son of God to save sinners from their sins, oh, what love there is in it. And oh, that we might be favored as poor and needy sinners, we should come as beggars poor, won't we? We shall also know, as I believe David knew, that this warfare, having been born again by the blessed Spirit, quickened into life by the Spirit, oh, what a difference that'll make to your religion and mine. As we're exercised unto godliness and holiness and looking to the Lord to drive out the buyers and the sellers of our heart that seem often to prevail in our hearts, proving how very much of the earth earthy, how very carnally minded we are, but all to be brought here like Mary of old, one thing is needful, says the Lord Jesus Christ, and Mary hath chosen that good part that shall not be taken from her. Now, it wasn't the choice of her flesh, was it? This was grace in her heart, working in her heart both the will and do the good pleasure of God. And so here we see the prayer of a guilty sinner before God, but I am poor and needy. Yet he was unable to say by faith, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. For he says in Jeremiah, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. My soul, wait thou only upon God, says the psalmist, for my expectation is from him. And so here we need that living faith, don't we, to wait upon the Lord, that he might in his sovereign mercy grant us a good hope through grace that though poor and needy, he will supply that need. Those spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, when he tells you that your sins are pardoned, when he says, son, thy sins are forgiven thee, daughter, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. The solemn reality is there be no peace, saith my God, for the wicked, but peace that he hath procured for sinners when he shed his blood on Calvary's tree. This is the very sum and substance of your hope and mine, isn't it? That we might know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. But I am poor and needy. You see, it's the poor in spirit shall receive the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven, says the Lord, in the Beatitudes. Blessed, not cursed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And it's my soul, wait thou only upon God. Are we waiting upon God? Do we pay our night and morning vows to the Lord? Do we desire to know these things? We read some godly, gracious obituaries, don't we, of those that have had much a favour of God upon them in speaking to them and in assuring them their interest. But oh, we don't want a counterfeit religion, do we? We want something known and felt in our very soul. Christ revealed, Christ made precious. The name of Christ, it is a tower, isn't it, that the righteous run into and are safe, a sovereign protector. Protect, preserving and keeping you and me from harm. We have been, through mercy, brought through another week of time. Who could have upheld us but he? And what a mercy if we have those sweet evidences in our lives of the Lord's goodness that he has made to pass before us in the way. You felt your poverty. Maybe you've had your poverty in providential things. You've been brought, as it were, into great straits. You've been oppressed. You've wondered where the scene was going to end. And then Lord, in his sovereign mercy, has appeared. Made some crooked thing straight for you, some rough place plain, the darkness light before you. He strengthened your weak hands of faith in it. You've had to wait patiently and he's delivered you. And then you've journeyed on and come into another trial that has seemed to come and be so much of a burden unto you again. And oh, the devil roars and says, where is now your God? Poor and needy. This personal feeling that you and I will have at times when we're brought into great straits. Yet, reminded by the Spirit that you don't sink under the load. You see, I think it's in one of these psalms here that the Lord speaks about being cast down and very much in the darkness and bondage through that fear of those things that you're passing through. And so he says here, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He may not feel to be any goodness in him of these right spiritual things. And he delighteth in his way, though he fall. He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And so you see there's this still this exercise of living faith that the Lord has been the author of in your life and mine. Very faint and weak often that faith is. Yet it still causes you to hope, though poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Because the Lord has taught you to trust in the measure in his name. And who could have taught you and who could have held you up but him? And so through mercy you have been favored to realize, in spite of all your sins, that David was made to realize are more than the very hairs of your head. More than the hairs of your head, your sins and mine and transgressions against a holy God. Why, there's nothing but sin can we bring before God, can we? In our flesh dwelleth no good thing, says Paul, and we have to prove it. But oh, when the blessed Spirit of truth does come and reveals to you and me the things of God, you desire to bear witness of it. So you come as a poor, needy sinner. You come desiring the life of the Spirit. You desire a crumb that may fall from the Master's table. You pray for a sip. Oh, Lord, that I could speak from experience, you say, of this poor, seeking soul. I might be able to feel life in myself. That I do not come to and fro to God's house and come in and out as a door upon its hinges. But I might feel some life of the Spirit, that great mystery that I am persuaded comes from thee when I perhaps sit in the pew, yes, and as we stand up in his name. Something to refresh us, to revive us, to encourage us, to press on. In spite of all the opposition that you and I often meet, and that opposition from within as well as without, and there seems to be so much toiling and rowing, and so many seem to prosper in the way, and you will become envious of them, these wicked ones that are seeking their own vain pleasures and treasures in this life, so-called. And you seem to be in so much turmoil within, it makes you poor, doesn't it? Yes, but you see, the Lord knoweth your frame. He knoweth your frame, dear friends. He remembereth you and I are but dust. And he has promised to provide. And as Paul says, my God shall supply. He had to prove in his own life, didn't he? A messenger from Satan had buffeted him, a thorn in the flesh, yes. And we shall have those thorns in the flesh if we're God's dear people. And all that wedge of unbelief driven in by Satan at times, that you wonder sometimes where the scene's going to end. But oh, you see, the more the enemy seems to drive home that wedge of unbelief, so the more you cry, Lord, I am poor and needy, but do condescend to grant me thy care. He said, cast on me all thy care, casting all your care upon him. This brings you into poverty. You've got nothing to speak of, have you? Nothing to boast of, nothing to glory in. You come as a guilty, weak, and helpless worm to fall upon the arms of the Lord and ask him to grant you that healing, restoring touch. A voice from heaven, a word in season to your poor, drooping spirit. Lord, grant me something that I can live and die on with the hope that I shall get the victory, reach heaven, and be delivered, dear friends, from this body of death. Jesus only then that can reveal to you and me those tokens of his love. But I am poor and needy. You see, he says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. He desired it for the welfare of his others that believed in thee. But oh, it's be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. Like that Syrophoenician woman came with her daughter, vexed with an unclean spirit. Lord, she was brought here. Lord, help me. The disciples wanted to turn her away. The blind man by the wayside, the disciples told Jesus to rebuke them. But the Lord stood still. You see, we're not in man's hands, are we? We're not what man's opinion is. It's what God has towards us, stored up for us. And the eye of the Lord is upon the righteous. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And he makes himself known to them with the conviction of sin, makes them feel guilty of their past offences, of their lives. Or some words or some deeds or actions that you and I have carried out. And he brings them to our remembrance. And oh, you feel the wretchedness and the vileness. And you say, oh, not to have said that or done this or done something else. And it's a mark against me, Lord. Makes you feel your poverty. Makes you feel to be oppressed and overwhelmed. But, oh, Lord, do grant thy mercy and thy peace might yet rest upon me and I might be favored to know that thou dost think upon me. You know, what a mercy if the Lord has you and me in his thoughts. You see, the Lord's, he has thoughts of peace and not of evil to his dear chosen people. Everyone, insignificant as they may feel in their own hearts, and yet through mercy, the Lord has bought them with a price, loved them with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness does he draw them. But I am poor and needy. He can see these others where they magnify the name of the Lord. He can see those that bear witness as David here. And he blesses God for it. But oh, it's my own soul. It's Lord, I need thee. Lord, do come and help me. Do hold up my goings in thy paths that my footsteps slip not. Lord, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Leave me not, neither forsake me. For with Christ in the vessel, says one, I can smile at the storm. You see, the Lord raiseth the stormy wind and maketh it calm. Or he holds the winds, we are told, in his fist, don't we? How men murmur and complain, don't they? And how the Lord makes bear his arm and shows his almighty omnipotent power in the winds and the waves, even they obey him Oh, what an almighty God he is, and what a mercy to have faith to believe this. Now, the carnal mind cannot receive this, but they are spiritually discerned, and when the Lord gives you grace and faith, you say, Lord, I am poor and needy. Well, through the language of the hymn writer, when you and I get so careful and troubled about many things, he says, does he not, through the language of the hymn writer, concerning this, thy whole dependence on me fix, you may want to depend on another. In a measure, we depend upon our loved ones, don't we? And we trust that we might be made useful to them. But he says, thy whole dependence on me fix. Nor entertain a thought thy worthless schemes with mine to mix, but venture to be naught, poor and needy, nothing, emptied, a beggar, poor at mercy's door, lies such a wretch as I. What an experience these hymn writers had as taught by the Spirit. Do we know a little of it? Or we trust, if we're not mistaken, a little here and there, that we are favoured, we humbly hope in being made to feel our poverty, our dependence, our casting of all our cares and our burdens upon the Lord, and we feel through mercy at times the Lord's delivering hand, and hope that the Lord has been thinking upon us. Thou art my help. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Or when a poor sinner leans upon his helper God, proves him to be his refuge and strength, a very present help. You know, it's feeling the Lord is so far off mostly, isn't it? But when he's a present help, he draws near, he comforts, he supports. There's something secret, sweet and all in your pathway. You look up to him, from whence cometh his help. Your favour, do you feel sometimes, with that faith and exercise to believe this God will supply your need? One says, he that has helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through. Give me daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to his praise. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Oh, his omnipotence, his omnipotence, his omnipresence, his omniscient eye that seeth and looketh upon your heart and mine. Oh, we would trust and hope that he looks upon our hearts through the sin-atoning blood of Christ, that blood that can cleanse the blackest sinner, the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need. Is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Lord, you say, I am oppressed when I examine myself. In the light of Scripture, how it searches me, tries me, strips me of any fancied meekness. To meet thee, the great I am, oh, how vile I am. And you know, our nature doesn't want to hear this. When the Spirit shows us the wretchedness and vileness of our hearts, and one day we've got to be gathered before the judgment seat to give account of our words. Every word that proceedeth out of our mouth, this Almighty God will judge, you know. There's not a thought, dear friend. No thought can fly, nor thing can move, unknown to him that sits above. Oh, we cannot begin to grasp this, can we? The infinite wisdom and knowledge and understanding of God throughout this earthly ball. He desired that it be inhabited, but all the corruption and sinfulness of man through the Adam fall. But what a mercy that Christ Jesus came into the world, your hope and mine, to save poor sinners, to reveal to you and me his everlasting love. You say, Lord, speak the word only. I call upon thee daily. Sometimes I feel my petitions are so formal, so earthy, so much that I've learned by familiarity through the years. Lord, give me real prayer. Send me real answers. Show me a token. Assure me of my interest in the merits of Christ. I am poor and needy. Tell me that thou hast thoughts of peace towards me, not of evil. You see, the Lord will certainly judge the wicked. There'll be no peace for them. We want to put what the Word of God says. We want to shut the book up, don't we, when it reads us, especially when it condemns us. But we see the other side. This is the time of adversity, isn't it, under the conviction of sin? But what are the prosperous days? And oh, we do desire to see it yet in Zion, don't we? Prosperity in Zion. Those plants that have been planted in his vineyard in Zion, that shall flourish and bear fruit in the courts of the Lord, that shall bear evidence that they have been with God, been with Jesus. Lord, don't leave my religion, my poor preaching to be of the flesh, and my hearing to be of the flesh, but grant me some reality in my soul. Some real evidence that I am thine, that thou dost think upon me, that thou dost show pity upon me, Lord, that thou dost grant me that pitying eye to look upon me as one of thy sheep, and one whom thou hast a favour towards and will have a favour towards in as we sow in tears of true repentance and godly sorrow for sin, that I might yet reap in joy, that I might, as it were, be given some fruitfulness in my soul, some blessed assurance and good hope through grace, that I shall yet get the victory over this body of sin and death, and overcome as the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome the world for me. This is what we want, isn't it? For the Lord to grant us that good hope, yet the Lord thinketh upon me in spite of my poverty. And you know, if we had not real poverty and need by the teaching of the Spirit, then the Lord wouldn't have had thoughts of peace toward us, would he? But the very fact that he has made you and me to feel our poverty and our need of him, this is because he does think upon you. This is because I hope that he has loved you with an everlasting love. Although you can't rest in that, can you? You want some fresh glimpses by faith of Christ. You want some fresh assurance that he is your God, because you're in a world of sin and unbelief. And you feel much unbelief bubbling up in your soul. But we have to acknowledge, as the Lord thinks upon you, so you acknowledge by living faith, thou art my help and my deliverer, and a strong deliverer, to lead you forth by the right way, that you might go to that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Oh, what a city it is, Zion, that we sung of this morning. That place, dear friends, where he meets with his dear people, where he meets with you and me, though we feel our poverty, though we feel our emptiness, yet a desire in our soul to come and worship him, and to feel your cold heart warm with heavenly heat, and know a little of this great mystery of godliness, as Christ is made the chiefest among 10,000, a glimpse by faith of Christ, and a felt warming of your cold heart, a felt of your drawing to his word, a felt interest in him, and a desire to follow him and serve him as a poor unworthy sinner would serve him. In reverence and godly fear, thou art my help and my deliverer. Now you see, you've proved him. You've proved a few things in your life, that God reigns. evidence, and this is a mercy. You have evidences of it. You proved him in your healing touches, in sicknesses. He's made your bed in your sicknesses. He's been better to you than all your fears. He has also been your helper and your deliverer in many things in your life. And when you felt to most need him, as one says, when most we need his helping hand, his friend is always near with heaven and earth at his command. He waits to answer prayer. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. You've got another case. You've got another burden. You've got another task. And you want, and you seem to be so unable yourself to overcome this present burden. Oh, how we continually prove a pathway of trial. The trials must and will befall, but with love inscribed upon them all, says one, this is happiness of me, for happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Jacob's God, your God, my God, that supplies the need, that undertakes for you, that bids you and me to sit still and know how the matter will fall in those various circumstances that arise in life. I say, what a mercy it is that God knows the way you take. What a mercy it is that he exercises your mind in calling upon him in the day of trouble, in pleading with him, and you feel like this in your prayers. Oh Lord, what a fool I am. Know not what to speak, how to ask thee, or what to ask for at times. And yet he says, I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. But Lord, I can't even feel to be an Israelite in whom there's no guile, for I feel so full of guile, so full of sin, so full of rebellion, so full of murmuring. He says, I will be inquired of by the house of Israel. He exercises your soul to inquire of God, not inquire of man. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. These things are not left on record, dear friends, as just a history book. These things are left on record for such as you and me to wait upon the Lord, to plead with him that he will not tarry too long, but he will give you grace to tarry, and that he will give you faith to wait upon him that he might yet favor you with some clearer evidence of his will concerning you. And you see a sign and a wonder as the Lord exercises you when he delivers you to raise up that new Ebenezer to his brain. Oh, I say, what a God he is, friend. How often we want to manage our own affairs, do our own thing. But you know, he will have you and me inquire of him. He will have you and me call upon him in the day of trouble. And you'll see his hand going before you in so many ways and so many things that you have to acknowledge. Yes, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. O Lord, may I tremble at the thoughts of thy majesty and holiness, but may I hope in thy mercy, that as thou hast given me this poverty of soul and this need of thee, that thou hast those right thoughts towards me. That is, thoughts to my soul, because thou hast bought my soul with thy dear Son's precious sin-atoning blood. Thou hast loved me from all eternity. And therefore with loving kindness thou wilt draw me and give me grace to walk worthy of thee. And that vocation wherewith I trust I have been called, and I don't mean being a member of a church. The vocation wherewith you have been called is exercising you to attend the means of grace, isn't it? You come for a purpose. You come not out of form, you come for a purpose. a desire to know these truths inscribed upon the fleshly tables of your heart. You come with a hunger and thirst after the righteousness of Christ. You know it's vital, you know it's needful to be saved from your sins, to be amongst those whom he hath redeemed from the curse of the law and made wise unto salvation through faith in Christ. Oh, you see, it's not of him that willeth or of him that runneth. There are many willers and runners in England that are baptized. Ah, solemn thing, dear friend. Some run in the ministry without being sent. Solemn. But you see, it's not him that willeth or that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. God that showeth mercy. Oh, what a favour this is, dear friends. To have that vocation of grace in your heart, to walk in his fear, to honour him, to serve him, to plead with him, that he would make no tarrying. Well, we often quote it, don't we? Tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem. Zion is the place, the holy city, the place where his honour dwelleth, the place where he meets with his people, where they sup with him, and they with him. He comes in unto them. For they that honour me I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Hophni and Phinehas, you know, were sons of Belial. They were sons of a priest. Sons of a God-fearing priest. But they were the sons of Belial. And oh, how they came in, dear friends, and stole the honour, didn't they? Of the priesthood. And God cast them out into hell, didn't he? Oh, the solemnity of it. And he said, they that honour me, I will honour. They didn't honour God, did they? They honoured the flesh. Glory in the flesh. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Them that honour me, I will honour. Oh, that the Lord might give us grace then to honour him. Poor and needy. Yes, you come with nothing. You come with emptiness. You come as he kills you that he might make you alive unto God. And calls you yet to sit among princes. Even with the Prince of Peace in heaven at last. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Blessed privilege to be able to hope that he is your God. This God is our God. He will be our guide, even unto death. Oh, how dependent then we are upon this God to reveal to us his love and to speak peace and pardon to us and assure our interest in the merits of Christ. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. So in spite of all your fears and my fears, the Lord knows the way. For he is the way, he is the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, but all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Are you a coming sinner? Do you know what it is to feebly call upon the name of the Lord? You may be walking about the street in your home or wherever, in your car. The Lord is able to speak. As you call upon his name, your thoughts are under him. He girds up the loins of your mind. Your thoughts are heavenward. Your thoughts are Godward. And you say, oh, that I might know thee, Lord. Or that I might feel a little union and communion with thee in this dark world of sin and woe and in so much of that enmity that exists even in my heart. The temptation, dear friends, the adversary, as subtle as a serpent, that draws you and leads you and me captive by many carnal things. Oh, how we have to pray, Lord, have mercy upon my soul. Teach me to pray, feeble as I am, dear, in my poor prayers, Lord, but do grant I would hear my groanings. Yes, Lord, may the Blessed Spirit make intercession for me. That's what will be the valuable thing in your petitions, won't it? When the Spirit makes intercession for you. Oh, we don't want to be cast down about our prayers. We often are. But to realize this, God's word, dear friends, takes your poor petitions and mine, feeble as they feel to be, and he perfumes them, cleanses them with the blood of Christ. The Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. You know, it's only a groan and a sigh from your heart, you know, more valuable than men multiplying their words in prayer. Oh, I don't know how they do it sometimes. It's not multiplying words, is it, from a good memory? It's that groaning from your poor soul. When you groan, being burdened, this and that thing that befalls you, oh Lord, you say, hear my poor groanings. Thou knowest my thoughts. Thou knowest my desires, that I would truly come as a poor and needy sinner. Plead for the merits of Jesus, that sin atoning blood, that thou wouldst reveal to me thou hast loved me with an everlasting love. Speak the word only, Lord. Speak the word only, Lord, and I shall be healed, because the Lord alone can be your deliverer and mine. Make no tarrying, O my God. Now the Lord knows the way you take. Knows the way, knows all your circumstances. He knows all your inward thoughts here this morning or any time. He knows your cares, your concerns, your desires. And all that those desires of our hearts might be more God-ward, might more be more God-honoring, and might be given more grace in our hearts to serve him with reverence and godly fear, to run with patience. Oh, it's hobbling along, isn't it, in a pathway of a believer? It's not running, is it? The race of a man, is it? It's running with patience. The race that is set before you. Often we feel to go two steps forward and one back in our pathway to heaven, but the Lord knows the way. Oh, you see, and he has promised, has he not, to supply. Strength equal to our day, power to the faint. Them that have no might, he increases strength. Oh, he upholds you with the right hand of his righteousness. But I am poor and needy. Because of sin, isn't it? Sin, isn't it, that separates? But the blood of Christ makes you nigh to God. And oh, we plead that precious blood of Christ. All that sin-atoning sacrifice that Jesus carried out on Calvary's tree. And it is he that opened the channel of mercy. Mercy through blood I make my plea. O Lamb of God, I come to thee. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying. Lord, unite my heart to walk in thy fear. Show me a token. Confirm my soul. Give me some light in this dark world of sin and woe. Lighten my darkness. Say unto me that my sins have been pardoned. Assure my conscience of its part in the Redeemer's blood and bear witness to my heart that I am born of God. The very secret of it all, isn't it? Ye must be born of God, created anew in Christ Jesus, renewed in that spirit of your mind that looks to Jesus only. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Or that we might prove in these things the presence of our God. Feeble though our prayers are, it is, Lord, help me. Help me to believe. Help me to pour out my soul before thee. Help me to wait upon thee for that renewed strength. Help me to lift up mine eyes to thee. And, O Lord, do grant that thou wilt favour me to hear thy still small voice, and grace to be still and know that thou art my God. Make no tarrying, O my God, to speak the word only, and I shall be healed. Well, may the Lord in his sovereign mercy bless our few feeble remarks, and pardon all the mess. Amen.